This is Pac-12 football.
Jordan Webb, pressure from the back, and down he goes in the arms of Big Will Sutton.
Barkley, oh, he got clobbered as well. This time Anthony Barr will record the sack.
Heisman hopefuls.
Caught! Marquise Lee! Touchdown, SC! 75 yards!
Mariota firing, lofting, and touchdown, the Black Mamba!
Championship caliber teams.
Hand off Taylor, left side, running, first down! Stanford's gonna win the Rose Bowl!
The Conference of Champions brings you the Pac-12 Network's football podcast. Here are your hosts, Mike Yam and Rick Neuheisel.
It's week 13 of the Pac-12 Network's football podcast. I will call this a. I want to say it's
with
a,
emphasis.
You got to punch it home. Here's the deal. This is, I'm going to call this a special edition, even though it's really not a special edition. It's weird because normally we are in a small little sound booth when we do our podcast. Today we are podcasting.
We're
from
in
our
friendly
normal set.
Confines.
That is the
normally.
Most, yes.
Here we find ourselves
palatial.
Yeah. Palatial.
A palatial studio that we are in right now, which is where we are. What feels like every single day of the week as we are doing our studio shows. But
for
this,
you, the star of
well,
Pac-12
no.
Networks.
I want to. Th-
for
I,
you, the chosen one.
This
for
is
the Pac-12 Network.
The lucky one. Might
those
be the best
of us
way to
who
it.
Just come here and hope to be employed another day, we live in another world.
You,
the penthouse
no.
baby, the one, the only, the yam.
If people really
yam cam
happens.
Lives through you.
You good?
I'm good now.
We are in our palatial studio, like we normally are, for our TV shows. Today we are in here, though, and this is a very unique setup. You have rocked some singing throughout the course of the last couple months. You have a special song that is
left
dedicated.
To my own vices and free time. I do crazy things.
You have done something crazy again. I think you have topped all the other songs that you have done publicly. So a little bit later here on the podcast, we are going to hear a fresh edition of a Rick Neuheisel special. Does it have a name? You can come up with the name at some point.
We'll
but it's a message for Coach O. It's on the fly. For Coach O.
The story
and
of the year.
Yes.
The resurgence of the Trojans under the guidance of Ed Ogeron. I mean, it's a phenomenal story.
It is. It's fantastic. Normally when we do the show, though, Mackenzie and Candace, who's not with us today because she's doing her civic duty, jury duty. So Juan and Mackenzie are handling business, but we're on the set, which means Lamont, who is normally our director, has to play a little bit of a part because he is rolling on this entire show, and more specifically the part where you start singing. So they say, hey, count us in. And then Lamont, I do the regular count. I go,
Lamont always has to count.
Then Lamont has to count us in.
That's part of Lamont.
No one even knows what I'm referring to, but it's more like TV talk kind of stuff. So Lamont counts us in, the director.
Diva, Las Vegas.
The diva who, if anyone's a diva, you ask for green M&Ms in the green room in wardrobe before.
If they're
going
to ask me to sing, then I want my green M&Ms.
When I was in college, there was a debate. Would you rather be a rock star or a professional athlete? And I used to always say, hey, it's got to be pro athlete. And all of my roommates would say, no, it's about being a rock star. You actually, you know, you high-end athlete. I mean, you know what it's like to be that. Would you rather be a rock star or a football player?
I have always fantasized about being a country western singer. Always. But that just wasn't the way things worked out for me, Mike. And that's why I find myself working and just, you know, trying to bask in your shine. The world that you live in, and the rest of us here are just thrilled to be part of your family here at Pac-12 Networks.
Unbelievable. The jabs keep on coming. Brandon Cooks, by the way, the wide receiver of the Oregon State Beavers, got an opportunity to speak with him yesterday. A huge matchup against Washington.
What a player and what a year for him, huh?
Record-setting performance. He actually is very well aware of what he's doing. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a very positive way.
He's a very, very bright young man.
He is.
And very, very... I think he studies the game more than most his age. I think he knows more about the game. I think he knows more about the subtleties of the game. And that's why he is able to parlay his obvious great athletic skill maybe more than others, because he's really, really ahead of the curve with respect to understanding what it takes to be successful.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because that is a topic that we discussed. So that interview coming up shortly. He was also a guest on Satisfaction with our very own Ryan McGrady, and he was able
the
to
the greedy
get a lot.
Grady one.
Yeah, he took care of
outstanding.
Business.
Outstanding. A budding star, but you keep him down. Your thumb firmly pressed
stop.
On his back.
Do not start
down.
Spreading that.
If you could just relinquish some of the yam cam time and allow others to.
That is not even my deal. That that is your deal.
No.
It is.
It's Mama Yam.
All right, my mom is a huge fan of the Yam Cam. That I will not, I cannot disagree with that. As I mentioned before, it is week 13, six games, two of them on the Pac-12 networks. Does the bell sound like it normally does? I feel like I gotta, there it is, that sounds better. Utah and Washington State kicks off our coverage 12:30. We'll touch on that matchup.
Not what a huge game that is for those two programs.
Bowl Bowl.
The Bowl Bowl.
As you decided to name every single game these last few weeks. But that is Washington State right now is on the precipice of a bowl. Utah still needs a couple wins. But the Cougars are a football team that all of a sudden comes off a shocking, I don't want to say shocking, but they go on the road and they get it done. Their wins in conference play are not
all
even,
on the road.
That's sort of
odd. They take their act on the road. Talking about rock stars, they go out on the road. They got their roadies. You know, I don't know why. They just seem to rise to the occasion when they need to, and hopefully they can break that, because I think they need this win against Utah to secure the bowl, but I think it'll be hard in that Apple Cup.
Sad news, because this is a Utah team that has to go on the road. They typically play better in Salt Lake City, but Travis Wilson is not going to be playing for the rest of the season. An ominous sort of press conference is what we saw earlier this week. The press release indicates that he was dealing with the concussion, the post-concussion test that revealed some sort of issue that was there. The team is not really saying specifically what the cause is, but this could be career-threatening for this quarterback. We got a glimpse of Adam Schultz in the game against Oregon. This is going to be their guy moving forward. How does that affect, if you're Kyle Whittingham, and the dynamic of this team, knowing that you're not going to have your quarterback?
Well, I think they've dealt enough without Travis at the helm this year to know how to handle that. The bigger story here is that this might be career-ending. Because certainly we, along with everybody else who watched his maturation process go to this from last year to this year, saw a budding star. And to me, the thought that he may not get to play anymore is a hard pill to swallow, especially if you're Travis Wilson and part of the Utah family, because not only was so much invested in him, he's just a great young guy, and you just saw a world of really good things ahead of him. But most importantly is his health, and if this was a way to determine something, as you said, ominous was on the horizon, then we look at this as good fortune. I think you always got to look at things as happened for a reason. So we wish him, we wish the Utah family and program well. And like, it, you know, Kyle Whittingham laid it out for us when we were there in the preseason. We want to go back to a bowl. Well, it's there in front of them. And I think they'll play well.
Some teams in the Pac-12 are looking at a bowl, like Utah and Washington State. Other teams have bigger aspirations, winning a Pac-12 championship. And there are a few teams that are still in play. And this is odd. I mean, you coached in this conference. You know what this is like, to have this many teams still
with the legit. First time in the history of the Pac 8, 10, 12 that five teams have eight wins or more this late in the season.
This is what we know. Oregon, Arizona State, and UCLA win out, and you're going to be the team that plays in the Pac-12 championship. And some are saying, well, how does that work? Well, Arizona State and UCLA playing each other this weekend, which is why that one of those teams potentially could represent the South.
Only one can win.
Exactly. Because of the head-to-head matchup. USC and Stanford are also still in the mix. The Trojans here on the Pac-12 networks against Colorado, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. Give me the skinny here on this game, Arizona State and UCLA, because this is a Bruins team that all of a sudden is now, the wheels are turning, they're playing well, they're getting victories, and
exactly. You hit the nail on the head, and you hit the bell perfectly.
By the way, you hit the bell. You typically say that you don't like the bell.
Last year's ball game, 45-43, the Sun Devils came down, scored with about a minute and 20 left to take the lead. UCLA responded with a beautiful clock drive that ended in the Kaimi Fairburn field goal at the buzzer to give the Bruins the 45-43 win. This is so evenly matched.
It's all about commercials that pop up on my computer. Go on.
What is it about you and these
the
gadgets?
Technology,
you are
I know.
Such a
it's
gadget,
like, it's
gadget
a,
head.
It is. That's not what, my fault.
If I saw your Christmas list, how low would I have to go down the Christmas list to find something that wasn't electronic?
I actually don't even. My mom asked me the other day, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "I don't really need."
Because I've had everything. I have everything. No, I have every accessory known for my phone, for my computer,
not true,
for my Hulu, for my video games,
my
for
Hulu.
Whatever.
Hulu
I don't even know what Hulu is.
I don't even use Hulu. You know, there is a time though, and
you're a gadget head. Can I go back to the Arizona State?
No, because I want to make this point. Because you're old, and this is the point that I want to make. When you become an adult and you stop asking for stuff at Christmas time, because that's the thing. That's what's happened to me.
It hasn't happened yet, though.
No, I say I need socks. That's a few years ago I said that, and it dawned on me.
You want them electronic? They want battery
operated?
I want
the ones
that can
light up, the RG3 ones.
Yeah,
take it to that next level.
I knew there was something about you.
Yes.
That.
By the way, you did show up on camera in your Sunday best. I like to point out, ready for
this?
Ready to go.
Normally we're in our cubby.
I know. You're
the one who said all of a sudden this was, you know, made for
I'm wearing a shirt and tie because I always
have to.
Because
you have to do your Yamcam, which you know you do before I get here so that you don't get ridiculed. Oh, more Yamcam time.
Osahan Irabor tonight, Pac-12 Football Weekly.
The point I was making about this big game between Arizona State and UCLA is this. These two teams are so evenly matched that the coaching decisions are going to be huge. And whenever you're in that kind of a tug of war, even against even, you really look at run defense and running the ball because that's the safest of all ways to move the football. So if you look at Arizona State with Marion Grice, who's averaged 119 yards a game over the last five games, and then you try to find the equivalent on the UCLA side, well, Jordan James hadn't been around for the last five games.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's ready this week. I know Jim Mora has said he's going to be ready, but we'll wait and see. So the only back that's gone over 100 yards for UCLA in that same amount of time is their linebacker by the name of Miles Jack. So how much more of Miles Jack will we see at running back? Will it be by committee? Damian Thigpen is also a little nicked up. Stephen Manfro's nicked up. It is an inconsistent running game at best for UCLA right now. Brett Hundley kind of has to be the legs, and that takes away from his ability to look down the field and give all those receivers chances to make plays. Also in games this evenly matched, you look for turnovers. UCLA has been a huge turnover team with respect to winning the game of turnovers. The first two drives for the University of Washington last week, two turnovers, UCLA yep. parlays them 14-0. If UCLA can get off to that kind of start against Arizona State and take them out of their deal, the games where Arizona State struggles is when Taylor Kelly has to stay in the pocket, and I think that'll be the case again this week if they can force him to stay in the pocket. If Arizona State can get him his legs involved and get him on the perimeter and use all the myriad of weapons that they have, from Jalen Strong to G.J. Foster to the tight end position, Chris Coyle. I mean, they have a lot of different weapons on that offensive side of the ball before we even get to Marion Grice. If they can do that, keep UCLA at bay and not turn the ball over, Arizona State, I think on paper, looks to be a little bit sounder right now because of the missing pieces for UCLA. If UCLA can get off to a quick start, parlay some turnovers into this thing, get the home crowd, and I think it's going to be a big-time home crowd for the Bruins, then I like the Bruins. So this, to me, every decision is going to be magnified. It's a huge ball game.
I don't know if this made air on Sunday on Pac-12 Playbook. Ronnie Lott had said,
multiple re-airs.
Yeah. Ronnie Lott had said something to the effect of, as a defensive player, if a guy's going to go who's a defensive player and he's going to go play offense like Miles Jack has done, the defensive guys are like, I get to go and hit a defensive guy, and they get up for a game like that.
And the other thing you need to remember about Miles Jack at running back, and he, as fabulous an athlete he is, and as passionate as he plays, and there isn't a coach in the country that wouldn't say, yes, please, can I have one of those? There's no question. But he fumbled once, and on the touchdown that he scored, as he scored, he fumbled another time. So ball security is one of those things. It's a fundamental you work on all year long if you're a running back. And if you're not working on it all year long, is it as game ready as those who do? And to me, that's another issue. So we'll wait and see how much they use him. I kind of think he's going to be a bullet coming off the edge trying to make Taylor Kelly stay at home.
Irabor had a message. I asked him if he would give Miles Jack a message on Pac-12 Football Weekly, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Multiple re-airs.
And he does have a message, so I don't want to repeat.
Why do I feel like Rain Man when I say that?
I have no idea why that is the case.
Multiple re-airs.
Definitely, 100% on the Pac-12 Network.
Judge Walker.
So get a couple multiple re-airs of Pac-12 Football Weekly.
Did you ever see Rain Man?
Yeah, with Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman, right?
Yeah. How old were you when you saw it? Six? Seven?
Watched it start to finish. I was a little bit older, but I don't even know if I saw it on a DVD. It must have been VHS. Do you remember? You definitely remember.
Don't get started. Don't act like that's the dark age.
When I was getting back to my college, there was the
he just said VHS is the dark age.
That is the dark age. I remember my roommates used to tell me that I was a DVD snob. Because at one point we wanted to watch a movie, and I said, is it on VHS or DVD? Because I don't want to watch the VHS version of it. I want to see the DVD.
You came home and said, Dad, I have to have Blu-ray now.
We got to have Blu-ray. Let's get this technology in the house. Got to have it.
Get that with your socks.
That light up in the dark, just so I know where I'm walking. The fact that I had said that there are three teams in the driver's seat, Oregon, Arizona State, and UCLA to represent the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 championship game. All they have to do, if those teams win out, two of them will play. There are other teams that are in the mix, USC and Stanford.
Right.
So, you know, former head coach, you know what it's like to have to shake hands, have to preach to your team, get them motivated for a game when they need some help. A fan base that says, well, we need X, Y, and Z to happen so we can get to this game. What are you saying then?
David Shaw could take the notes that Mark Helfrich wrote for himself last week and just put him on his desk and say, guys, we have to keep playing. First of all, they play what they call the big game. They've got Cal, all right? And I know Cal's had an off year and so forth, but the big game's one of those games that you remember for a lifetime, just like all rivalry games. And so Stanford's going to put their best foot forward. It's on the farm. It's the last home game for the seniors. This is a huge opportunity, unless, of course, they qualify for the championship game. And they have to get help. Someone, either Arizona's going to have to beat Oregon or Oregon State and the Civil War is going to have to be. And we'd probably say that's not going to happen, given that Oregon's the prowess that we expect from Oregon. But we also know stranger things have happened. And that's exactly what. So Stanford has to do what they need to do to make sure that if it happens, they're ready to take care of business. That's the message from David Shaw. I would say it's going to be cursory. He doesn't have to say much. He's just going to say, let's win the big game. Because those are smart kids. Yeah. You're not going to fool them, right? He's just going to just say, let's go win the big game. They've got Notre Dame to follow that one. If you're USC, you are having the most fun you've had in a long time.
Yeah.
All right? That win over Stanford with the Coliseum emptied onto the Coliseum floor, special. So now we just need to go and make sure we take care of business. They're on the road at Colorado. Looks, there'll probably be snow slid onto the side of Folsom Field, which is kind of a fun place to play. It'll be cold. It'll be challenging. But I think kids, especially from warm climates, when they get to the snow for the first time, kind of get excited about it. And I would expect USC to play really well. But so will Colorado. I think Sefo Lufau was terrific last week against Cal. This is not Cal. They're going to play some really, really good-looking athletes. And if SC is prepared, and Ed Ogeron this week came out and said he wants the job, well, he's auditioning then, all right?
Absolutely.
And if he's auditioning, he needs to have his team ready to play, and I expect him to play really well. So if they win that game, then they come home and play UCLA in the Coliseum. Now, if UCLA were to win this week against Arizona State, just like Oregon was rooting for USC last week, USC is rooting for UCLA this week. Because if UCLA wins, then if they take care of business against the Bruins and Arizona can go into Tempe and take care of the Devils and cause the Devils to lose their last two in conference play, it would be USC that would go and play on behalf of the South. So
still
crazier
though.
Things have happened.
Could be worse. You could have no shot of getting into the Pac-12 championship game. And right now, USC is still clinging on to that hope. By the way, your song to Coach O coming up in just a couple minutes' time. One game that we haven't really touched on is Washington and Oregon
State. It's not Coach O. It's about Coach O. Yeah,
it's kind of a USC rallying cry. It's
a reaction to this magic that is taking place down in
the story of the Pac-12 football season.
The land of Troy.
Oregon State hosting Washington. Still not sure of the status of Keith Price heading into this game, but we do know we will see Brandon Cooks on the field, and got an opportunity to speak with him yesterday. Started off by the interesting dynamic that he has, not with his quarterback, but with our producer, Candace Kootz. Remember, Pac-12 Media Day in Los Angeles. Brandon, he came on the show, and we had our Wheel of Fun, and it had different slots on, and the one that he landed on was Star Crush.
I'm sure he thought that was quite the Wheel of Fun you might have thought it was.
Well, I didn't label that one. But the Wheel of Fun, he spun it. Brandon landed on Star Crush, and he said that Candace Kootz was his crush. So I started off by asking him about that and if the two of them had some contact over these last couple months.
The last time I saw Candace is when you guys actually came up to visit us for the Pac-12
our training camp tour.
Yeah, your training camp special. And of course, I saw her, and as soon as I saw her, I had the biggest smile on my face. I couldn't let her see it, though. I had to hide it once she came over. And we talked for a little bit, but and other than that, she was telling me that you guys are gonna have me on a campus cam sooner or later. But other than that, it's been professional.
Well, it's been professional. Okay, I just for clarification purposes, and I don't know if this will make you feel good or not, but you mentioned the training camp tour. Myself, Coach Neuheisel, and Candace, we were like the three amigos for the month of August. We were on the road. We were traveling together. The flights, the car rides, the hotels, the whole nine. And Candace never blushes, but I got to tell you, in Los Angeles, she turned this shade of red that I have never seen before, and you did that to her.
Hey, what can I say?
The best part about this is, like, this is for our podcast right now, and I can see you because we're doing this over our campus cam, and, like, you're kind of, like, getting a little bit of a different shade.
Yeah, you kind of getting me to start blushing. See, you can't do that.
But you were just on Satisfaction with Ryan McGrady. He asked you about it as well. You knew it was coming. You can't come on the Pac-12 networks without there being some sort of joke about you and Candace.
Hey, I'll keep that tag. I'll keep it.
How was it, by the way, being on Satisfaction with Ryan?
It was really fun. I'm glad, I had the opportunity to do that. To be able to just talk to you guys is always amazing, and I really thank you guys for having me on here.
Well, I know Ryan had asked you about a lot of the records that you are breaking, and your name is littered all over the Oregon State record books. What's that like for you to know that you are having the amount of success that you're having, and keeping in mind the amount of preparation that you put into your game? Because I don't think a lot of people realize this, but Mike Riley's told me about this on Playbook. We've heard it from even Sean Manning, who came on the podcast with us a few weeks ago. Everyone always talks about your focus and you loving the game and studying the game and watching film. So this has got to be a pretty gratifying experience to know that you're breaking these records.
Yeah, you know, it's tremendous. It's really fun to know that, just because all that hard work and the preparation, like they were saying, it's starting to pay off. And one thing I love about this game is I don't know the difference between it being a job or am I working or am I playing, and that's the amazing thing, because I treat this game like it's something I love to do, which it is. I have a passion for it, so I would never put that tag on myself, like, this is my job. And I think that's the difference between, those who are successful at it and those who are not. It's just because they have fun with something they love to do. Like you guys, you love to be in the Pac-12 studio, and you're great at it. Look at you.
I appreciate that. You're actually the only person that ever says that to me, because Rick usually just crushes me every other minute of the day and tells me how soft I am. So I appreciate you giving me some love, and I'm going to let, and Rick's going to listen to this, and I'm sure as soon as we finish up, he'll continue to tell me how soft I am. But it's cool for you, just as a student athlete, because you're telling me about the focus, and I think most people understand the demands. You have practice, you have schoolwork, and those are your priorities right now. What's it like away from the field, though? What are you doing to get better when you're not at practice, when you're not working out with a guy like Sean Mannion?
It's the film study, even at home. Now we got this thing now that's a huddle. You don't always have to be around the football vicinity to watch film. You can be at home, watch it on your laptop. And then, once I'm away from the field, I'm that goofy guy. I like to relax, clear my mind and just be able to have fun with my buddies. And, and once it's time to go back to work, I lock in, and, it's one of those things. But for the most part, once I leave the Valley Football Center, I go home and I relax and, turn on some SpongeBob or something like that, just so I know the next day I'm going back to work. And most of the time I don't get home until pretty late in the day. You got practice in the morning, class, and then come back and watch film. And, so I do all my stuff here. And once I go home, it's all about my time.
I don't want anyone to miss what you just said. SpongeBob? Is that
SpongeBob.
Like the cartoon?
It's cartoon.
What's the deal with SpongeBob?
I can't get enough of it.
Really?
I've been watching it in high school. That's my go-to cartoon, actually.
What else do you watch?
I try to get into the Homeland and to the Breaking Bad.
We talk a lot of Homeland on this podcast. Yeah. You just said that you try to get into it, or are you into it?
I'm not into it. I haven't been able to get there. Now, if you ask Sean that question next time he's on there, he could probably give you the full details.
He's a Homeland guy?
Homeland to the fullest. He's in the training room all the time talking about Homeland to our trainers. It never stops.
I am, first of all, Brent, you're one of the guys that we love having on, but you've dropped a peg now because you're not a homeland guy, and Sean Mannion might have surpassed you on this show.
Hey, and the next time you talk to me, I'll try to give you some updates, but as of right now, I'm behind.
You will pick a cartoon over Homeland, which says a lot about says a lot about you. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it does speak volumes of your character and the type of person you are. Because you are, and Sean even mentioned this. He said you have this laid back personality until you get on the field. And I just asked you about the records and what you're doing. It's got to be gratifying. You said that it was, but do you have a moment this season where you look back and you watch the film and you said, "Man, I can't believe I made that grab."
Utah, the whole Utah game, actually, just going back to that game, you know, first overtime game in college football, you know, first time, you know, in my life, I was able to be blessed to be able to catch a game winning touchdown. So it was probably definitely that game, take through the play when the guy tipped the ball. You know, first of all, I thought it was picked off, and once it went right through his hands, I knew it was my opportunity to make a play and just shut the thing and shut it down. But that's the game that I look back on the most. Playing in Salt Lake is amazing. They got some wild fans.
9 catches, 210 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Another day in the office for you, Brandon Cooks. That's what your stat line was against Utah. Now, I know that it's been at least a little disappointing over these last few weeks.
Yeah.
I talked to Mike Riley the other day, and I even saw what he had to say in the press conference following that loss against Arizona State. He seemed down. Take me through what you guys are working through right now, because I know it's got to be disappointing after a 6-game winning streak to drop these last few.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing, but you know, Coach Riley holds speeches, you know, are you going to get, you know, socked in the mouth and stay down? You know, we have 3 games left. Let's see what we can do. We have 3 huge games left. Well, first of all, 2 huge games left because we don't know the third one. But we have UW in our backyard. It gives us the opportunity to send the seniors out on the right note. And then you have Oregon that, you know, is the big thing around here,
yeah,
down in Eugene. So our preparation has to be just like our preparation was those, you know, that 6-game winning streak. You know, we can't get down on ourselves. There's a lot been going on these past 3 games, but hey, let's see if we can turn this around. Yeah.
You mentioned the Civil War at the end of the season. I don't want to look past the game against Washington, and I'll ask you about that. But because you brought up Oregon, the Ducks get all of the pub. They're, you know, the nationally ranked team. People are talking all the flair and the bling with Nike and their facility and all the things that they have going for them. You guys are sort of in their shadows a little bit, and you're not too far away. Do you guys look at this matchup and say, you know what, this is our opportunity to put the hammer down and sort of show everyone who's boss in Oregon?
That's definitely our thought process. You know, like you said, they get the glamour, they, you know, they get the press, they get all the pub, and you know, a lot of guys on our team didn't get recruited by Oregon, so this is another opportunity to be able to show those guys that hey, you know, they might want to regret not recruiting them. You know, it's like you know, guys on our team that's ready to go. You know what I mean? The Civil War is the Civil War. We haven't beat those guys in last, what, 6-7 years, something like that, along those lines. No one on this team has beat Oregon, and it's definitely a chance. We feel like we're a strong team. We had some tough losses, but we feel like we can hang with those guys.
As I mentioned, Washington is the next opponent, though, for Oregon State. They're struggling as well, and yet you guys have this game at home. We're still not sure the status of a guy like Keith Price, their starting quarterback, who's dealing with that shoulder injury. What's the advantage that you guys have in this football game that has you thinking you're going to win?
Well, let's just start off, like you said, we back at home, last game of the season at home. You know, so many seniors on this team that cares about this football team, and they want to end their last memory in Research Stadium with a win. So, you know, that motivation factor definitely plays a part. And other than that, like you said, we're both 2 teams that has been struggling the last 3 games. We know that they're a great team. Their record does not define who they are. They had a fast start, and they have a lot of talent over there. So we have to understand that we're getting ready for a dogfight.
Brandon, I mentioned this to you a little bit earlier before we started recording for the podcast, that this has been a show where a lot of the quarterbacks come on. And I typically ask each one of them to give me the best thing about being the quarterback at their respective schools. I asked Sean the same question. He was a little, and I prefaced it with him. I said, don't be politically correct. I want to know the real deal. What you're the big man on campus. You're the quarterback, but you're one of the biggest stars on campus as well in Corvallis. So what's the best part about being the go-to wide receiver for the Beavers?
You just said it. You're the man on campus. Everyone loves you. Everyone wants to talk to you. And it's fun, you know, and that's one of the things you always dream of growing up. You see huge stars being followed around, being asked questions. And that's the fun part of this deal. Being in Corvallis, a college town, and like the go-to receiver, hey, I'll take it. You're the man around campus. Yeah. You only get this once in a lifetime, so you might as well take advantage of it.
Did you play basketball growing up?
A little bit. I wasn't that good. I wasn't on Storm Woods, yeah.
Storm's got game?
Storm has game, yes.
All right,
yes.
I was unaware because, you know, Craig Robinson's team, they just got off, you know, they had that huge win against Maryland on the road. Did you watch?
Yeah, we watched some of that.
What's that like? I mean, because they've been struggling a little bit, and you guys obviously have had some success these last few years, especially last season, and obviously you guys were rolling with the six-game winning streak, preseason top 25 team. That's got to be sort of a pretty cool thing to see another program come up with a big win.
Definitely. Just because they came off a loss to, Copland State, at the beginning of the season, we lost to Eastern Washington. And if anyone knows, it's the football team that knows that, you know, one loss doesn't define who you are. And for those guys to get that big win in Maryland, that was definitely good for our basketball program and, you know, good for our community.
Are you friends with Roberto Nelson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do me a favor. He is awesome. He was up here in our studios for Pac-12 Men's Basketball Media Day. I played him in ping pong. I beat him. And then as soon as I won, he goes, best 2 out of 3. Jonathan Lloyd said the same thing, and I couldn't play Jonathan because I had to get to a meeting. But kudos to Roberto Nelson, who actually beat me 2 straight games. So just let him know that I want best of 7, because I think I can roll off a 3 more victories in a row. So let him know for me.
Sounds good.
Brandon, really appreciate you stopping by with us. Congrats again on all the success, and we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thank you for having me.
Cooks is climbing up my list of my favorite players in the conference. You can see how much fun he is to talk to.
He's only 1 or 2 inches taller than you, which is why
which gives me hope. D.D. Goodson.
D.D. Goodson. When are you going to have D.D.?
A little bit later on the podcast. It's going to be a surprise. I'm sure someone will surprise me with a D.D. Goodson interview. He's becoming a cult hero here at the Pac-12 Networks. Brandon had given us an idea of why.
You and Didi's stockings, you know, they have to hang a little lower so you can reach
so you can reach. Usually Cole in mine is the unfortunate thing. But USC and the, we'll discuss them in Colorado coming up here, but Oregon State and Washington, this is prime time.
Get off the mat, Bull.
And it helps from the Beavers' perspective that they're home and we don't know if Keith Price is going to be able to play. And you got to think, even if he is out there, it's a shoulder injury. It's his throwing shoulder. How effective can he even be?
Well, you remember after the game, I said he wouldn't throw this week.
Yeah.
I think they're going to test him out tomorrow.
Thursday is the day. He hasn't been allowed to practice. The swelling has to go down.
If he can throw it all tomorrow, you know, there's ways to medicate him so that he won't feel a lot of the pain on Saturday. But you're just not the same. I mean, it's such a precise art throwing a football and throwing it on time and all the different things that go. It's very difficult to do it without practice. And so unless he really impresses tomorrow, I would say that or Siler Miles is not impressive, okay, one of those two things, then I would say that you would rest Keith Price and hope that you'd have him for the Apple Cup. But you know, we'll wait and see. I know Keith Price is a warrior. He's a tough kid, and I know this is important to get off this 7-win schneid. And so to win these last two games and get to 8 in the regular season is a huge goal for the seniors in particular.
That's the thing, and we had him on Pac-12 Football Weekly 2 weeks ago.
Multiple rear,
6 p.m. Wednesday night.
Judge Wapner says multiple rear.
He had said that it would mean the world to that group to get over that plateau. And you could see how disappointed he was on the sidelines against UCLA.
Right.
You know, homecoming for him, he had about 100 friends and family that were in attendance. He couldn't even finish.
Right. This is huge. And especially when you're a senior, we talk often about the guys who are going to have a chance to go off on to play on Sundays. Yeah. And certainly Keith will make it to a camp and hopefully make a roster. But there's lots of guys getting ready to play these last couple of weeks. This is the last time lacing them up. And for them, these are emotional times. We're going to see a lot of senior days. You know, at UCLA is a senior day. At Colorado is a senior day. And so in those environments, you know, it's an emotional time because your life, at least your college life, flashes through your mind of all this went and how fast it went. And so it's always fun for me as a coach to see that look in their eyes as they run through the tunnel for the last time and know that this was a meaningful experience for them.
It's not just emotional for the players who potentially are winding down their college careers. This is an emotional time for USC, who continues to win football games. And this potentially, and I hate to even throw it out there, but the clock might be ticking on Coach O and his time on the sidelines, because there are rumors about he's the interim coach right now, and there are rumors about who is going to take over. USC in Colorado, 6:30 p.m. Pacific on Saturday, Pac-12 networks. And in the past, you have created some buzz on
I have done some songs on the stories that are kind of capturing America on some of the stars that are the headliners in college football. I did a song on Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
All right. And just because he was such a bright light in the world of college football, and then kind of became infamous. You know, when the story about him signing paraphernalia and so forth. And then, you know, the SEC, such a staunch believer that that's the only place they play college football. You know, so I did a song, kind of sung to the tune Born in the USA, Born in the SEC. You can't blame them. That's where they're born.
Okay, so what's the song for USC fans with a huge game this weekend?
Well, it's not so much the huge game this weekend. It's just kind of what's taken place. You know, Trojan fans understand and that theirs is a very proud legacy.
Yes.
Very proud. And I'm from the other side of the tracks. Although I went to law school at USC, I grew up watching the USC program from the UCLA vantage point.
And trying to go 8 Mile on me right now on the other side of the tracks.
But, yeah. But what I will say, what has happened at USC under the leadership of Ed Orgeron has been astounding. Astounding. And it brings me, the song kind of wrote itself. Have you ever heard, Ed-O, Ed-O, come take the Trojans all the way home. Ed-O, Ed-O, carry the Trojans all the way home. One win, two win, three win, four. Hey, Coach O, we want some more. Then beat Stanford, let the whole world know. We will fight on all the way with Coach O. Hey, Ed-O, why don't you sing with Ed-O, carry the faith. Ed-O, Ed-O, lead the players, then lead the band. Why are you laughing? I'm trying to sing a song.
It's tremendous. It's tremendous. Don't let me ruin your flow. I am highly entertained.
Things were low for the USC. The players and fans were all but gone. Then they found the key to the victory. They handed the boys to Eddie Orgeron. Hey, Ed-O, Ed-O, bring back those Trojan fans. Hey, Ed-O, Ed-O, he leads the team, then leads the band. Coach O gave them goodies, make them happy. Goodies like wins, they taste so sweet. Boys have fun and play so scrappy. Bring the Trojan fans out of their seats. Hey, Ed-O, Ed-O, conquest all the way home. Hey, Ed-O, Ed-O, the Trojans are back in the national show. One win, just how many more will they go? How many more you think?
Two more.
That was a
not
rougher.
Bad.
That was
not
rougher
bad.
Than a cob.
Not bad.
Rougher than a cob. It's one take, Jake. Here,
you know? It is.
You're the only one who gets to say cut. I want to do
I
it.
I never
again.
Say cut. I fight it through time. It, baby. I
you're
fight through it.
You're the diva on the set. You know.
Green M&Ms, that's what you wanted.
Ed-O.
Fantastic, fantastic. We talked
Eddie-O,
about
Eddie-O, 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 Eddie-O. Harry Belafonte somewhere where is cringing. Why did they do that to myself?
Where did the idea even come from to pick the Harry Belafonte?
Edo. I mean, Deo. Everybody calls him Edo. Yeah. Edo. I mean, it's Edo. I'm a Coliseum fan. At the Coliseum. Edo. Edo. Carry the Trojans all the way home.
That's my mission. We have to get the Coliseum to just start singing that.
Edo.
If we can get that going, I will be a very happy.
From somewhere at the top row of the Coliseum, I want somebody to just get up and go, Edo.
Oddly enough, it could actually be someone who looks just like you there charting that chant that's there.
Yeah, no, I won't be there.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
You will be with me. 6:30 p.m. Pacific.
Multiple re-airs.
Well, at least just one as we get to say.
Let's not re-air this. Let's do everybody a favor and not re-air this.
Something tells me this will be all over the internet, plastered all over the internet. A lot of views on pack-12.com. Your one big key for this game is what? Because, Colorado is on paper
overmatched. The one big key is that USC play like USC. If they go in there and play like they've played, which means control both lines of scrimmage, protect Cody Kessler, get him started from first down passing, get Marquise Lee and Nelson Aguilar involved, and play with the exact same enthusiasm that they've played with over the last several weeks, poor Colorado. And again, no disrespect to Colorado, they just don't have the personnel yet in their program to handle an outfit like this, if they play their best. If they don't, Sefo Lufau is unafraid. That might be the nicest thing you can say about a freshman quarterback. Unafraid. It's not too big for him, and Paul Richardson can play on anybody's team.
Who's the best wide receiver on the field in this game?
You know what's ironic is Marquise Lee and Paul Richardson.
High school teammates.
Along with Robert Woods.
Yeah.
And George Farmer, who's still in the wings at USC, unfortunate with injuries. But I should have played quarterback on that team. I might still be playing.
Is that the best way for you to avoid answering that question? Because it's tough. Heading into the season, I think there was no doubt.
Let me say, there are three guys that are going to line up in that game, at least three that are going to play in the NFL. There are three.
So we'll say that Nelson Aguilar,
Marquise Lee's large. The year Marquise Lee had last year was heroic.
Yeah.
It just happened on a team that didn't get, and that's kind of where Paul Richardson finds himself right now.
Yeah.
To tell you one's better than the other, I mean, they're both sensational athletes. Sensational.
By the way, kudos again to you. I'm like replaying the song now in my head.
Reading the words on the teleprompter is a harder deal because it doesn't have it was rough. But you know what? Try it again.
What do you normally do?
I have it written down. I had my reading glasses and
your
all
readers,
that stuff.
Your readers, as you like
my
to describe.
My readers. You're going to be old someday.
No, the fact that
will
you call
these be
them readers.
Will these be electronic when in your age?
They'll plug in some fake eyes.
Will they read for you?
Yeah. That would be. I could use that right now.
Grow up. You would have.
Hold on,
do you? My neighborhood.
Who holds up the yeah? Who holds up the lyrics for you?
My wife.
So Sue's with you.
When I did it on the Dan Patrick show, it was 7:30 in the morning. My wife, I got the words right here. My wife holds the phone, and away we go.
We needed to bring Sue up here. But you handled business.
Yeah, it was rougher than Cobb. I asked for a couple takes, but these, it's only,
Multiple takes.
Yeah.
And I never say cut. All right, before we wrap up here, we wrap up every single show the same way. Two big predictions, one in football, one from Homeland. You caught up?
I am.
You are? Perfect.
Yes.
Pretty epic?
I told you Saul's a bad guy. I told you.
Okay. You've been touting it since season one.
And I also told you the love interest of Saul's wife was involved.
That I will give you.
I told you.
I will give you major props for that. That guy is a shady.
And
shady.
Quinn's moving in on
Carrie. We saw that one coming.
I'm on this.
All right, so what's the big prediction then for Homeland, then?
What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Something to do with Brody. What do you think Brody's going to do? He's coming back. Brody's coming back to the States.
How weird is it that the dude is out of his mind?
They've kept him sedated with the drugs.
Oh, God, that's scary.
Yeah.
Kind of Breaking Bad-esque. And your big prediction for the weekend, week 13, college football?
Bruins are going to get it done.
At home against Arizona
Bruins
State.
Are going to find a way.
Okay.
In their home of homes, the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all.
We will see everyone, at least on TV, 11:30 a.m. Pacific on Saturday as we get you ready for the Bowl Bowl, Utah taking on Washington State. Two games on the Pac-12 networks. And remember, for everything that's happening around the conference, at Pac-12 networks, you can follow us on Twitter, at Coach Neuheisel, at Mike underscore.
Yeah, yeah. See, diva. Diva!
How is it? I'm not a diva because I have an underscore in my Twitter handle.
Who else does?
And also, quick thanks to Brandon
Who else
Coates.
Has underscore?
A lot of people have underscores.
Yeah?
I don't know who else, but
I
can't. I know it's
what
true.
That's what I thought.
Also, thanks to Brandon Cooks for stopping by the show with us. And once again, a nice little... We got a bunch of people on the set. We can all clap for Coach, by the way. Yes. That was an epic song.
You don't mean it. You don't mean it.
Look at you. You're such an attention guy. You don't mean it. Keep clapping for me. You don't mean it. Keep clapping for me. We will see you again on the next edition of the Pac-12 Network's football podcast.
I need to get back to coaching.
This is the Pac-12 Network's football podcast.